we're not talking about all of the National Guard being involved here. We're talking about maybe 8,000, 6,000 of them. The numbers that I've seen say we have somewhere between 300,000 and 400,000 people serving in the Guard in this country. But, as I said before, a huge number of those have been called up to serve long tours of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan. And, of course, they played a big role in the disasters of Katrina and Rita last summer. I just want to make sure that we don't stretch that too thin, because there is always going to be a need for a guard on a regular basis. And if they're going to be full-timing it down there, let's not leave ourselves too thin in any one area. Henry, you're on KMOX. Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm good, thanks.
Retired immigration officer, and has spent 18 years along the Texas-Mexican border.
Oh, great.
From Del Rio to Eagle Pass to Rio Grande City, down all the way to Mission, Texas. And the towns that were in question, or that you're talking about last night, was on the American side, it was Eagle Pass, Texas.
Eagle Pass, Texas, that's right.
And on the Mexican side is Piedras Negras, Coahuila, Mexico.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, there's the language factor with the National Guard. I don't know whether it's going to be used just as surveillance or what have you, but if they're going to be actually used to physically apprehend these people, there's a language factor to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
They're not trained. Some of them are not bilingual. Even if they were bilingual, there are certain languages that are not common to the Mexican border, like people coming from El Salvador, Ecuador, Nicaragua, etc. So the language factor is a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
Second is the training. The terrain there is very, very difficult. There are some areas there, even if you were lying shoulder to shoulder, there's no way you can cover the Rio Grande River. It's not a straight line. It's zigzag.
Right.
And the carrizo sometimes can be up to 18 feet tall. Even when the moon is bright and shiny, you can't see at all.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you had 10,000 Border Patrol agents and 15,000 or 5,000 National Guards, there's no way you can cover the border 24 hours a day, 7-11.
Okay, so with the 12,000 or so people we currently have in the Border Patrol, we're talking about an impossible job. What if they doubled that to 24, took it up to 30,000? Could we get it done then?
Well, even so, with the number of figures that you have right now, you have to consider, too, that we're also guarding the Canadian border, and we're also guarding the seaports. So when they say 12,000 Border Patrol agents, that does not necessarily mean they're all stationed along the Texas-Mexican border.
That's a great point.
So, and you
How many people do you think we have on that 2,000-mile border between the U.S. and Mexico?
Probably, and like I said, it's just a wild guess. I've been retired 7 years, and I've been away from the border, 18 years. But from the point of, say, San Diego, California, all the way to Brownsville, Texas, which would be considered the Texas-Mexican border,
right?
I would say physically, on the field, out of those 12,000 agents, at any one time, you'd be lucky to have between 5,000 and 6,000 agents.
Okay.
And then, again, you got to also consider that you're covering eight on a 24-hour basis.
Right. So, like I said before, if you got 6,000 agents and you got them working in three shifts, and that's not even including weekends and all that, you're talking about 2,000 Border Patrol agents for 2,000 miles. That's one agent per mile, which is impossible, isn't it?
Oh, it's impossible if you have one agent per 100 yards. There's no way you can cover the border, period. I don't care if you put 25,000 agents down there. Because not all the agents are uniform agents. You have agents that are working special units like anti-smuggling, intelligence, administrative stuff, training, the academy. So when they speak of this 12,000 agents, not all of them are physically on the border.
Right. What is the biggest challenge of a Border Patrol agent on the Mexico border?
Manpower. Having enough men. Usually it's a two-man crew. So when you go out, say, it's what they call the at night, it's usually from 4 p.m. to midnight. It's called a river unit. They usually patrol the river.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And sometimes you're assigned a specific area. That area for that two-man unit can be anywhere from half a mile to 15 miles.
Wow.
And sometimes, and I'm talking from experience, my partner and I, the biggest group that we ever apprehended and arrested with just him and I, was over 75 aliens.
How do you do that with just two people?
The language factor. You know, you got to learn how to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
See, for one thing, they're here to work, to earn a living. I would say 98% of them are just interested in working.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you're going to have the criminal element, always. But 98%, they just want to work.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that they, when they're apprehended, they're going to be taken in, processed, and with a matter of hours, returned back to Mexico.
Henry, when you were doing the job, and you'd be doing the job as best you could, every day did you think there's one thing that would make this job easier, and that would be just simply more of us?
No.
Or was there something else?
Well, sure, you can always have more help. But the thing is this, the more you apprehend, the more it's going to cost to deport them.
Mm-hmm.
See, we've always had the laws. The laws are there. You know, Congress is talking about new laws. We don't need new laws. The laws are there. These people are entering the country illegally, period.
Yep.
They come in, they break the law, we arrest them, we process them, and we send them back. Now, that's just the Mexican-Canadian. I'm not talking about other aliens, which we call OTMs, which means other than Mexican aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the people from Ecuador, El Salvador, Central America, Asia, you name it.
I read a report this morning that said that we did not have nearly enough detention centers for all the people we're catching.
The biggest expense is when you arrest an alien and you formally trying to deport him. Just to detain him, to have him processed for deportation, is the biggest expense. I would say more than 50% of the budget for the Border Patrol is for deportation procedures.
And what I was reading this morning was that there aren't enough detention centers for all of the ones catching, and so a lot of them are given notices to appear, which you know Border Patrol agents really call notices to disappear.
Well, when...
Because they're never going to show up in court.
Yeah, when the aliens are arrested along the border... It's what we call voluntary departure, which means VR. They're voluntary return to, if he's a Mexican alien, if he's anything other than a Mexican alien, then you have to detain him and formally charge him with entering the country. Okay, say here in St. Louis, if an alien is apprehended, whether he's a Mexican alien or an alien from another country, in this country illegally, you have to charge him with being in the country illegally. Sometimes the reason they're given these, what's called an I-210 letter, which you are given 30 days to report back to for your deportation hearing, that's when they disappear.
Yeah. How long do you think it would take to train somebody in the National Guard to help out on the border between the United States and Mexico?
Well, for one thing, see, there's the training is very, very different. The National Guardsman is trained to for battle, for actual war, and the Border Patrol agent is trained to encounter these people and arrest and detain and return them back to Mexico.
Yeah, we're not going to be shooting illegal immigrants
exactly.
as they come across the border.
The big issue is whether these guardsmen are going to be armed, because if they're armed, you're going to start having incidents where they're going to panic and, God willing, shoot or kill someone. Whereas the Border Patrol agent, they're used to working in pairs and encountering people anywhere from a couple aliens up to groups of 15, 20, 30 or larger.
Oh, you were armed, right?
Yes, you were armed with a sidearm. But nowadays, with all the terrorists and the narcotics coming across the border, I'm sure they carry shotguns and semi-automatic weapons.
Mm-hmm.
But back then... All we carried at the most was a shotgun, a 12-gauge shotgun. But nowadays, there's no telling what they're carrying along the border. I would assume that each officer, besides his sidearm, carries a shotgun, if not a semi-auto weapon.
And you were talking before about the terrain also making the job extremely difficult. Explain that a little bit more, because we're not just talking about whether or not people are coming across the Rio Grande.
Okay, the terrain is very different. Like in San Diego... There's a lot of beach. There's a lot of desert. When you get into Arizona and New Mexico, it's mostly desert. From El Paso south, the terrain starts to change. Around the Big Bend area, you got a lot of canyons, a lot of cliffs, what have you. Once you get down into the Del Rio area, it's what they call carrizo. It's a cane that grows sometimes, like I said, up to 18, 20 feet tall. And that carrizo at times can be so thick that even you can hear the aliens coming through, but you can't see them because they're cracking the cane. And you actually follow them by sound. And as always, when they enter this country, they usually enter under the cover of darkness.
Right.
So, but anyway, the terrain is very different. From Brownsville, Texas, all the way to San Diego, you can have half a dozen type of terrain.
All right. Now let me ask you about that desert area you were talking about, the Arizona, New Mexico area. We're talking about a pretty desolate part of the
the
country.
Mojave Desert, where there's incidents where aliens have attempted to cross that desert, and of course, because of the heat, rattlesnakes, whatever, they don't make it, and a month or so later, they find the body.
What do we have across the border there? Obviously, we don't have people there.
All it is an imaginary line between El Paso and San Diego. There's nothing. There's no river.
No wire, no fence, nothing.
Some parts close to the cities, you know, major cities, there might be a fence or what have you.
But
beyond that, there's nothing to deter these people from coming. It's
okay.
Just like walking a line. You scratch a line along the dirt, and once you jump it, you're either in Mexico or the United States.
Okay, and in that area, how far is it between an area where Border Patrol agents would be and the next area where Border Patrol agents would be? In other words, how much open terrain that's unwatched by anybody is there?
Sometimes hundreds of miles.
Hundreds of miles.
Sometimes hundreds of miles.
How could we possibly hope to fill that in and guard that?
No way. I'll give you specifics. I'll talk about the areas that I was familiar with, which was Del Rio, Eagle Pass area.
Okay.
I'm familiar with that area because I worked there.
Right.
It's like I said, at night, you might have five or six units, two-man units. And you're responsible, those 14 men, seven units, sometimes are responsible for anywhere from 100 to 150 miles of river line.
Wow.
And that's between 4 p.m. and midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Between midnight and 8 o'clock in the morning, sometimes there's no one watching the line. Literally, no one.
Unbelievable. Henry, I thank you very much for sharing your expertise here with me this afternoon.
Sure, you're welcome.
And thank you very much for your service also.
Okay.
There's Henry, a retired federal agent, Border Patrol agent for 18 years, retired seven. You think it's easy? You think you just have a solution to just stick more people down there? It's a lot more complex than that. Particularly, as Henry, his very first point was, you know, all these guardsmen who are going to go down there and they're supposed to help out, you better get them to learn Spanish.